Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirm Podcast Network.
Tell a fuck nigga, I don't fuck with him, what's up with him, what's up with him? Seeing shots at him, him his homeboy, nigga duck with him, nigga duck with him. Don't love niggas, can't trust niggas, can't fuck with him, oh no. See him riding around with that chopper nigga, oh no,
oh no.
And that bitch sing like the opera nigga, oh no,
oh no,
oh no, oh no. You gotta pray for these bitch niggas like, oh lord. How I move with them, how I do with them when I move with them.
Move with them.
Young niggas, they a fool with it, know what to do with them.
I don't know what to do.
Big and Lazy.
Got a cooler system.
Cooler system.
Rah, 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 rah.
Check, check.
Yeah, we live.
We got another special guest.
Yes, sir.
We should change our name to Big and Legendary, because we be having some legendary guests on this motherfucker,
facts,
man.
Yeah.
We got to change our name.
I like it, too.
Big and Legendary.
I like it, too, bro.
Now you can't leave Lazy out. You got to put the Big Lazy Legendary podcast. You feel me?
You know what I'm saying? And we back again with another one, like my co-host said.
Tell them who we got, man.
Man, we got Gen 1.
Legendary, man.
Legendary.
Mr. Cocaina himself.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember growing up and niggas doing music in the city, and he was one of the top dogs and still is. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them ones that you can see him in the club, you know, you can reach out and kind of, you know what I'm saying, see him on the scene. He ain't no, you know what I'm saying?
Humble guy, man.
Humble guy that came and sat down with us, man. Thank you for coming, man.
Man, real shit. I appreciate you for having me, bro.
Mm-hmm. That was your song of the day, man. What was your inspiration? What was you going through when you made that, man?
Man, I was really on some street shit. It's some street shit that I really can't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
It was real life.
Oh, okay.
Really, all my music is really derived from shit that I've been through, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I ain't never been able to do is make up no song, you know what I'm saying?
So right.
Usually what I'm going through, something is going to project into my music.
Right. How long you been doing music?
Shit, I started doing music in 2005, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying?
It's a legendary time.
Long time, yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. What's your favorite? Who's your favorite artist besides yourself in the city? If you could choose somebody.
In the city, I'm going to say.
Shout somebody out.
I'm going to say C Money the Grinch. C Money the Grinch is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Classic.
Really underrated. You know what I'm saying? Like, people like, you know what I'm saying, don't really. He don't get that. He don't really strive for the fame. He just, you know what I'm saying? He's one of the ones where you got to know to know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a Crack Doja production? Did you ever get one?
Hell yeah. Me and Crack got some motherfucking heat. I'm talking about. Man, me and Crack, when I started fucking with Crack, I was in my bag. That's when I really started really taking music serious when I was fucking with Crack Doja, man. Crack's dope. He brought out some of the best of me.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. When people... Maybe I'm missing it when like they talk about the Louisville music scene. Like it seems like they leave Crack off. Like he don't.
Man,
I don't know why. Cause he
Crack's one of my favorite producers of that I done work with her.
If you ain't always, I guess working, people feel like you ain't a legend no more. So that's why I like to always give the flowers when it's needed.
Yeah, I do too.
And then
man.
Leave it alone, cause. I mean, you got to know too. Like, at some point, it was a point in time in the city that you couldn't even, if your shit wasn't by Crack Doja, I just did a video. Shit, who's a bad shit? Man, you ain't got no Crack Doja.
And then Crack was putting out the motherfucking bangers, and he was shooting dope ass videos, man. Crack was dope, man.
Man,
and Crack was in every hood, too.
Yeah, one stop shop,
he was everywhere.
Plus, me being from the projects, like, I just loved it. Like, when I used to go through Crack's studio, it'd be in his crib, but he had it, like, laid out. and he had so much artwork, and it was just like Grammy artwork, and he wouldn't clean up. It was just like this much ashes on the yeah. the desktop and shit, like
facts.
Black and mild butts and joint roaches and blunt roaches and shit. And I just was in my, you know what I'm saying?
I was
in my element. That's what I'm used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was real, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't all pretty and cleaned up. It was real facts. Rugged. And yeah, I can make a good rugged music fucking with crack. He's a real nigga. Guns and shit all laid around and shit.
Damn.
Real. Did you see the alligators?
Nah, I ain't see the alligators. Nah, matter of fact, yeah, he had them alligators. I remember he had them alligators and shit, man.
Damn.
Yeah, crack was a motherfucker, man.
That sounded like a hell of a environment too. I think that's what made him so legendary. And like he told us, he was like, he had so much traffic, it made it kind of bad, but it was good for business too at the same time. That's kind of like, it's like a crazy feeling. You got so many people coming in doing music from all around the city. And like I said, bro, I would touch it down to any hood.
Crack could have went everywhere. Shit, he's went there. Anywhere with that shit.
Hell yeah. So we know the crack had a big impact on the city. I think a lot of people that started rapping, you know what I'm saying, in the city, I think that's a big inspiration, you know, artists that came from him. But I feel like you done had a good, you know what I'm saying, majority of that impact on, especially this new generation, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, the music. Because like I said, you performing anywhere in the city. You ain't mm-hmm. discriminating, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, how you feel like your impact, you know what I'm saying, how you impacted the streets and the city and the music scene?
Like, with the impact I done had, I had to come to realize, like, you know what I'm saying? Because first I used to take it for granted, like, you know what I'm saying? It took me a long time to take this music shit serious, you know what I'm saying? But when I started seeing, like, other artists, like, I used to have artists that did like, you know how you be out? And it'd be like little artists that's like, they ain't even got a song yet. Mm-hmm. They always come to me and be like, let me spit something for you. And I listen to them and shit. I was never too bougie or too big to listen mm-hmm. to them. I listen to them like, man, you need to record that, man. You did, right. You know what I'm saying? And then years later, they end up being a nice artist and having a fan base of their own. So I used to have to be like, you know what I'm saying? Damn, man, I remember, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I said like, well, I remember you was, you know what I'm saying, acapella in my ear in the club, mm-hmm. getting on my nerves, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
I'm glad you finally started taking this shit serious. So, you know what I'm saying, I had to realize that I do have an impact on this music scene, you know what I'm saying?
That's crazy right there,
and then
bro.
A lot of artists, like, you know what I'm saying, when I had, like, local success, you know what I'm saying, some of the artists that made it, like, mainstream was really unheard of yet, you know what I'm saying? And they was like, I had to go back and look in my emails and shit, and I had songs from, like, people sending me songs from Bryson and a whole lot of artists that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got songs from Vory. Vory used to send me songs and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? A lot of artists that end up making it to be, you know, major artists, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I go all the way back with them when they were just, you know what I'm saying, regular, you know what I'm saying, local artists just like me, you know what I'm saying? And they used to look up to me and, big bro, how you think about this? And I used to give him advice, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
At play a part, when I look back on it, that's a win for me, you know what I'm saying? Because, right. you know.
Some things ain't about the money. Yeah, it's about the, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, your impact, and you was one of them people, like I said, you can reach out and touch you. You right, you at the store, you know.
Yeah,
you,
come on, man.
You in the club, you know what I'm saying? That's a wonderful feeling to be able to be like that in your city, too.
Do you got a track with Vory?
I got a song with Vory. We ain't never really drop it. I release it though, but that motherfucker still hard. I think it can still come out. But around the time when we did that track, he was going through like trying to do a label deal or something, and it was just complications on getting the song released. And you know what I'm saying? So I just fell back off of it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? If he reach out and want to do it, then that's fine, but like I got it, I can listen to it, let my friends listen to it. But as far as me putting it like on a tape or something, I wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Just because when we did that, he was just on the couch at the studio. You know what I'm saying? So now he's I ain't no clout chaser or nothing like that. So I would feel like that would be kind of clout chasing to drop a song now because it's his success. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. I mean,
did you ever have your own studio? Or did you have your own setup?
Hell yeah, man. Because mm-hmm. When I first started doing this shit, man, I was doing it because I had some artists from my neighborhood that I thought was talented. You know what I'm saying? So they was just bouncing around trying to find studio and shit. So, you know, I had extra money to do extra shit. So I'm like, man, let me find out how much that shit costs. So I went to the doo-wop shop, a guitar shop, whatever it was back then. And I just bought all that shit. I put that shit in my kitchen. I had my nigga 12. Shout out to 12. I had 12 come. Mm-hmm. 12 was living in, I think, Lexington then. And he drove all the way here and set that shit up in my kitchen in the trap in the projects.
You had a studio in Park Hill?
Man, I had a studio.
He's a legend,
man. The first studio I had was in Park Hill. We made some of the best music in that kitchen, boy. I'm talking about
here. Man.
Yeah, and that's really how I actually started making music, because I started putting money into it, and the artists that I thought was talented enough to make it, they wasn't taking it serious. So I'm like, shit, I got all this music. I done put all this money in this shit. So playing instrumentals, one day I went in and I'm like, man, in my head, it sound good, but I really don't know if it's just me liking my own shit. Yeah. So when everybody left one day, I pushed the record. I ran in there, recorded myself, and dropped it. So then the next day when everybody came back to the studio, I played it. I just let it play and just to see what everybody saying. I was nervous about it, and everybody was bopping. It was like, man, who is this? And I'm like, just listen to it, see what you... They was like, man, who is this? And I'm like, y'all like it? It's all right? They was like, nigga, that's hard. I'm like, man, that's me.
Yeah, all right, that's what's up.
And from her, I'm like, shit, I might be able to do it, shit. You know what I'm saying? But I always, like, been musically inclined. Like, I sung in the choir and shit, St. Stephen's and shit. Like, I used to be a singer and shit. You feel me? I used to always want to sing and shit back in the day, but I thought I was too
cool. That's where all the legends
start, though.
Yeah,
I was too cool, so I never really showed nobody that I could sing, you feel me? Yeah. So, like, I always sang to myself and shit and sang to people that's close to me, like, you know what I'm saying? They knew I could sing and shit, but, like, I didn't never want to sing because I felt like people were like, man, niggas singing and shit. Like,
that's all these niggas are doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's so crazy. Everybody really know me. I always say, man, you was doing that shit before everybody that's singing and rapping. Yeah. Like, you was doing that shit just playing around. You should have did it then. We told you should have did it, and I was like, I was kind of too cool to be singing, bro. You know what I'm saying? Now it's the wave now. You know what I'm saying? So like, I
it's kind of like how the 50s was and shit. Like, all them niggas was gangsters, man.
Yeah,
David Ruffin and them niggas, they was gangsters.
Gangsters, good plan. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just all you know, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's amazing though. So, what's the largest crowd you think you done rocked in the city or out the city? Just what's the best concert you think you done had? You know what I'm saying?
I used to open up for Rick Moon's productions called? I think I forgot. Damn, I can't even think of it. But when he used to do
part,
Why and his youngest in charge or something like that. Yeah, when he used to do parties and shit. When he used to do concerts, like, I opened up for every. That's kind of like the start of me doing like real big venues and shit, big concerts and shit. I used to open up for everybody. Like, I was always his opening act. And I did some of the, you know what I'm saying, some of my first, like, real, real big crowds.
What was that, Rich Homie? Right across on Market, the Gillespie? What was it?
The Gillespie.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I think one of the biggest ones was at one of my first biggest ones before, like, I made it successful and went on tour and shit. But Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti was there too.
That was the last one they did. That motherfucker broke the ceiling. He had speakers and shit so loud, nigga, because you had to get his production company. Like, he back then he wasn't letting you just book him. You had to book his production company. So, nigga, that motherfucker shit was so loud, nigga, damn, the roof caved in.
Damn, so niggas had to come in and set up for Gotti.
Shout out to Gotti.
Gotti been on his ball shit.
And Gotti, basically, that goddamn lived in this motherfucker.
He was on the Derby, passing out there, Back to the Basics. He was passing out there.
I got a lot of respect for Gotti. He done reinvented himself so many times.
I mean, you got to, though, I feel like the Jay-Z's, like, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z always been on some ball shit, but once you get to a certain level, it's like, man, even all that Jersey rocking, I'm like, damn, niggas can't rock Jersey.
It's a difference, it's a difference, the level. Levels to it,
definitely.
Shit.
You started off as like a producer, you know, behind the scenes. Then you turned into a rapper. Like, what's the next phase? Like, what's the current phase or the next phase?
I could see myself managing some artists, but like a lot of the artists, like right now, like I'm just kind of like an advisor for a couple of artists that I think really got the it factor to make it.
Right.
And a couple of artists didn't ask me to manage them, but the real reason why I can't full fledged manage an artist here is because I haven't found that artist that's outside of the bubble of, you know what I'm saying? A lot of, like, I got a couple artists, they dope.
Right.
They got it. And I know what's selling. I know it at Gang Bang, at Rah Rah, mm-hmm. Shoot 'em Up, you know what I'm saying?
Beef with the other
side. Yeah. Beef with the other side, shit, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I can't put my name on it because of where I'm at in my life, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And even if you're from my hood and you were up the same hood as me, I'm not there where you at right now. You know what I'm saying? Right. I was 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? But right now, where I'm at, I can't be in the video with you when you're talking about killing.
Facts.
You're talking about smoking little Pookie Man them over. Like, I can't do it. And when you change your music, you know what I'm saying, and focus on a bigger audience, a broader scale, and see the vision that I'm trying to see,
facts,
I'm trying to show you, then I would. But I ain't found that artist that's with that. You know what I'm saying? Most of the artists here are caught up on
sliding and ops and destruction,
They just, you know what I'm saying, they got a small mind and they just worried about where they little section of the city. They ain't thinking about the whole broader picture.
And that's only gonna last so
it's
long.
It's the world, you know what I'm saying? It's bigger than just your little side of town.
Facts. I feel like that's only gonna last so long too, with the longevity of music, you know what I'm saying, that you're gonna be putting out. Cause like, I heard something one time, they said you're gonna get older, so your fan base gets older.
Yeah,
they ain't on the same shit
you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So would you say, you say violence and stuff like that, I don't know how I'm gonna word this, would you say art reflects life or life reflects art? Like, would you say like the kids these days are influenced by the music, are they, the culture?
I think it's kind of both. I think, you know what I'm saying, I know for a fact art affects life, but at the same time too, life definitely affects art. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm from the West End of Louisville, you know what I'm saying? And then more specifically, I'm from the Park Hill Projects of Louisville, Kentucky, you know what I'm saying? So growing up in the projects, it's a difference than other places, you know what I'm saying? How
Thanks.
I grew up is different, you know what I'm saying? So how I view life is different, and the music that I make is going to be different because of how I grew up, you know what I'm saying? In pissy basements and shit that I grew up in, just poverty and, and dope things and just death and all kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? Other people might not have had that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they like to hear it in the music, you know what I'm saying, too. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, too, it come a point in time where you grow up and you want to... like for me, you know what I'm saying, it's hard, it cringes me to make, like, when I'm in the studio, like I still have people that they want to pay for verses from me, and they always want me to do the kind of music that I used to do,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, but I'm kind of over that. I don't really like it because, you know what I'm saying, I got kids, this teenagers, you know what I'm saying, so like they are influenced by my music, you know what I'm saying, so like I hate really doing that type of shit, you know what I'm saying. I try to broaden my horizon and do a whole different you know,
right.
it's just man.
Hey, somebody cut their phone off. So the ring is off. I heard a ding ding, like
that's
notifications.
Made my shit over. Ding.
I'm off. Fucking,
no, you good? I'm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that's amazing. But it's like that's a total different way to look at it too. Because it's like Boosie's still a, you feel me, full fledged.
Gangsta rapper, you know
all
what I'm saying?
All the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's no breaks.
You think he ever gonna hang it up?
But another thing, too, see, with Boosie, I know why he's doing it. That's what's paying his bills, you know
Facts.
What I'm saying? He gotta be Boosie, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard to change. But see, like with me, the music ain't what pays my bills. So
right.
It's easy for me to back away from it, you know what I'm saying?
And
if I had millions rolling in, I would still be shooting them up, bang banging and gang banging and park here this and fuck y'all that, you
right.
know what I'm saying? So like, you know, it's a job for Boosie, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With me, like, shit, music ain't what is not my you know what I'm saying, my major source of income. So like, I can back up off of it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I see it influencing my son. You know
right,
what I'm saying? He's
right.
trying to be what he think I am, or mm-hmm. what he think, what the image of what other people tell him that I am. You right. know what I'm saying?
And then what can you tell him?
Yeah. And then I can't. It's another thing too. I become a hypocrite when I make a song about bust it open, bitch. Let me see that pussy. And then I got two 16-year-old daughters, and I'm trying to tell them to be a lady and carry yourself right and have respect for yourself. Facts. It's like, you know, they know every word to every song I put out. You know what I'm saying? I'm their favorite artist. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I have to switch it up at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, okay. So when you say your kids get of age, like, when is it, you know, when you, like, when is the proper age, like, some people leave that past life alone? Like, when is the proper, like, is it just like a person by person basis, or like, you know,
circumstances? I mean, shit, like, if I could do it again, I wouldn't have been that, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it's just the life that I had. That's the cards that I was dealt. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shit, I ain't pay attention to it. My kids was 2-3 years old. They was knowing all the words, but back then it was cute to me because they was kids. You know what I'm saying? But as they started getting 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, it's like, shit, now they have age to make bad decisions that can affect their life forever. So I got to be really careful on what I say and what I'm putting in these songs, because they hanging on every word that I say. You know what I'm saying?
Even more importantly, like what you said about if you found the artist that you like and they on that tip, you can't even promote it, because it's like you still got your hand in it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't safe. It ain't a safe environment. I'm putting myself back in the loop of that. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, bro.
Shit done changed a lot, man, since I was really doing this shit. Like, shit done got so bad to where, like, when I was first getting into the music, that we used to have open mics. Like, Young Diesel used to have a Murder the Mic, and I used to love to go where all the artists come through, and you could, you know what I'm saying, you could have all the artists in the city in one building, and it might be a little fight or something, but most of the time it wasn't, you know what I'm saying, but
cause everybody now, was the same
like,
thing.
I can't see that being successful, like, I can't see that happening without somebody, but yeah, I can't see it happening without somebody getting killed, you know what I'm saying,
right,
like, if somebody
was to try to do a open mic right now with all the artists from the city, all the up and coming young artists from the city. You couldn't do it, bro.
They talking some shit. That drill.
Yeah, it's not. Man. You know, we talked our shit, but it wasn't what it is now. It done got so bad now. They ain't just talking it. They killing this. Yeah. They killing at an alarming rate. Like,
thanks.
You know what I'm saying? It's bad.
What Luther say? He was like, I said something about the rappers, you know, have some rappers be fake. He said, but what's crazy is most of them ain't playing them.
Nah, they ain't.
it was all good when they was studio gangsters, they pretending and whatnot. But I take it, I figure rap like that. Like, I don't, no disrespect to nobody, but I don't really care if you live in your raps. I just want to hear good music.
Yeah, good music.
But I'm at the point, I'm 33, like, I can't listen to that Pop Your Pussy, Killing It, Sliding Off. Yeah. I'm going to put the Isley Brothers on. Like, I'm going to put, a little R&B. Yeah. Like, I can fuck with it. I try to stay in touch with, it's only so many, you know what I mean? Like,
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Flur. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check, and it's the link's going to be in the description, in the comments. Go check that out. Flur, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map.
I feel you, bro.
My little homie took, I ain't gonna say his name, but he told me he put his song on, man, and I swear to God, it was 3 minutes of just murder.
Slide
ops, fuck your dad, ops, fuck your mama. I'm like, damn,
Most disrespectful shit, man. Man, I already know it, man. It's just rough, man. Shit done changed. Shit done went in a whole different direction,
but,
man.
But, though, like I told my homie, I said, I don't think it's changed. I think what we're consuming, buying, has changed. We're buying depression. We're buying, killing and all that. You know what I'm saying? That's why, because it's always been rappers. Like, Boosie didn't get his recognition until everybody was like, damn, his story is crazy.
Yeah, he got 9 bodies.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas just listen to the story. Because I had an OG. He was like, man, I've always heard of, people listen. My kids listen to Boosie, but I never really got it. And he said, now, man, he said, I'd be at work in my security job and be listening to these documentaries on Boosie. He was like, man, Boosie is a gangster, man. Yeah, he's John Gotti and them, you know.
You know,
really cutthroat, you know. Whoever dies, they die. You know, there's no, you know what I'm saying? But I think now what, in this time, it's just, that's what they like. The dirt, the murder, killing.
I can understand
because we still got the cool rappers.
Yeah, I'm attracted to it too. You know what I'm saying? I'm still attracted to it too. But at the same time too, with me having kids, man, it's just, that's kind of what changed me. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, I'm with my friends and shit, they play some of that shit. I be like, man, that's just hard. I ain't gonna let shit hard. You know what I'm saying?
But
you
can't deny the talent. If it's a talent behind it, I'm like, cool.
And that's another thing too. I'm more so into talent, man. I listen to the rapper that got a story and I know it's real. He's fighting. He got shot up and he beat a body. He killed some people and all of that. I feed off into the storyline of it. But for the most part, I like talent, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So like, it really don't even matter for real. If you talented enough and you make good music, that's gonna sell. You know what I'm saying?
So Rod Wave just came here to Louisville. So what would you say? Like, they say he's promoting suicide, promoting depression. Like, how would you feel? Like, then, you know, I don't get, like, it was young kids and they're like,
I took my daughters. My daughter's a super Rod Wave fan, bro. My daughter's a super Rod Wave fan. Like, she's the biggest Rod Wave fan. She loves Rod Wave to where I had to take her. I took all my daughters and shit, you know what I'm saying? But I always go back and forth with my daughter about Rod Wave. Like, man, ain't nobody trying her that motherfucking depressed ass, motherfucking crybaby ass shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just fucking with her because I know she love him so much. But I ain't going to lie, bro. I got in that Rod Wave concert, bro.
You seen why?
I didn't realize that he had so many songs that I love.
Yeah.
Nigga, I swear I knew damn near every song about four.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, damn, this motherfucker.
I was the same way, though.
He's home, man.
This motherfucker don't miss,
and
man.
I said something about him
this
on Facebook.
This motherfucking Rod don't miss, man. I ain't going to lie. I swear to God, bro. I was in that motherfucker.
He don't.
Standing next to some little white kids that was crying.
They know
crying,
every word.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Word for word. They was crying. I'm talking about they was putting each other on their shoulders. They was jumping and crying. Yeah. I'm like, man, I was damn near feeling the energy. I was jumping around, too, bro.
I'm going to tell you something, though. I caught Flack on Facebook just because I said I ain't like the last album. You feel me? It just wasn't. But I fuck with Rod Wave. But when I seen the songs he performed in the videos, I was like, damn, I should have went because I know all them songs. But the only thing is, my kids ain't really into Rod Wave. You know what I'm saying? My kids, my youngest like Didi Osama. He like that shit.
He like
Get Sturdy and shit. But my 12-year-old, he like, you know, he's an old school nigga. He like Ye and everything that I put him on to, you know? So it's like, It's different, but I see why people like Rod Wave.
No cap, bro. I had to cut Rod Wave off because I've been shed too many tears, bro.
Man,
I used to work. I didn't say this story 1,000 times. I used to work, but it was about a 30-minute drive. I used to work for his liquor company. Nigga, I'd get me a little liquor bottle. Plus, I was going through something. I cut that Rod Wave home. Nigga, before I get home, I'm crying and got drunk. I didn't call and cuss people out. And yeah, man, that Rod Wave hit you home. But I was listening to him on the way over here. He got to...
He'll take you to church.
He'll take you to, you know what I mean?
He do. I'm in that motherfucking Rod Wave right now, nigga. I swear to God, I'm going through a breakup, nigga. And I'm feeling everybody he spit. I'm talking about, I'm in that motherfucker.
You want to know something that's crazy?
He made a new fan. I fuck with him. I ain't going to lie.
My nigga said that, my cousin. In fact, on Facebook, when I said, man, I ain't really like the album, but I like Rod Wave. Everybody's like, you tripping. You know, cool. I get it. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? But I just wasn't feeling this one. He said, nigga, you been married. You happily married. You good, nigga. You ain't going to feel it.
You got to go through that pain.
I said, I totally get it, bro.
But you want to know where I became a fan in the Yum Center of somebody yet? I never had really, like, it was like different song from Travis Scott that I like. You know what I'm saying? Here and there. But when he did that Astro World, and I was like, man, shit, I heard one song from it.
Yeah.
And I listened to the album. I listened to the album so much when I was in school, barber school, that my nigga was graduating. His girl bought him like 4 tickets. He gave me one. He was like, bro, you the only nigga I heard saying that this Travis Scott. I was like, man, I ain't that big of a fan. My nigga, you give me a ticket. Yeah. But I'm telling you, bro. Yeah,
I know it. I did. I was in our
that team. That shit was nuts. Yeah.
That motherfucker was nuts. I ain't going to lie.
I was like, damn,
so,
bro.
I'm going to tell you another artist that I went to that I really wasn't a big fan of until I seen him perform live. Tory Lanez, bro.
Oh, man.
Tory Lanez came to the, I forget where he came on, 4th Street. He came on 4th Street. And when he did that motherfucking, you know how he come off the stage and walk on the crowd and they grab his feet and he just walk on the crowd. Man, I lost my mind in that motherfucker.
I didn't see that.
This motherfucker serious, bro. He's a hell of a performer.
You think he did it? You think he shot that bitch?
Man, he did. He did, man. Because
I said if he didn't do it, I think he would have told. Because he had a lot to lose.
I don't know, man. I think he didn't tell on the friend. I think the friend did it.
Nah, he did it. Cause if not, he would have beat that shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And then I was rooting for him and shit. They were saying that he didn't shoot it. He shot the ground and some glass hit our leg and all of that. But in California, you can't shoot no guns and nobody. Doctors gonna realize if somebody got shot off, if it's glass or not.
I'm gonna tell you something though. I was in the barbershop one day. And I was like, man, they was talking about who's good at, R&B. I was like, a lot of y'all sleep on Tory. Tory's music catalog is so deep. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I put him up there with Chris. He probably ain't no dancer, but song-wise, you know what I'm saying? Tory's clean, man. Like,
Tory's dope. I hope he get an early release some kind of way.
Yeah, something, man. Cause
get back on appeal or something.
Yeah, they going to get him out. They'll send him out to Canada. But not the chain.
It's a lot of money.
Facts, though. It is, though.
Cause hell, he was gonna cop the three, but he didn't want to get deported though. That was the thing. He didn't want to get the but. Anytime a foreigner, bro, if you wasn't born here, you getting sent home. Except by black ass. Ain't everybody else getting sent home?
Shine
did. Huh?
Shine Poe.
Yeah.
As soon as he get out, that motherfucker's from Jerusalem or some shit.
So if you could work with any artist, like if you could get a blank check, any producer or any artist, you got a blank check for both. Who would you want to hook from or whatever? Who would you want to be from?
Of all time too. You can go
of all time. Yeah. See, of all time. See,
artists and producers.
This is what's so crazy. This is gonna fuck you up when I say this. Bro.
You going to Motown.
I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan, bro. Yeah. If I could get a motherfucking song with Stevie Wonder before my mom and them go, bro, because my mom, I grew up on Stevie, my mom and my daddy, bro, so fucked up by Stevie Wonder, bro, to where I know every song. Mm-hmm. To where I listen to his shit, nigga, he's like the end all, be all in my household, you feel me? So if I could do it, you feel me? I know I got a lot of artists that I fuck with, you know what I'm saying? But I do shit for, you know what I'm saying?
That's
gonna impact life.
Yeah.
Man, I get a motherfucking hook from Stevie Wonder, nigga, I'm telling you.
And who's gonna produce it? You said Stevie on the hook, that'd be
awesome. That's crazy.
Man, I don't know, man. Like, shit, man, the producer, let me see.
That gotta be stupid.
Man, they gotta be stupid, bro. I don't know, man.
Hey, that's different, Big. That's the most different one we've seen, man. Because the impact of that.
I want Stevie.
You got a song with Stevie, you gonna get played forever.
Stevie's dope. I swear to God, I was just listening to
Stevie's
I looked
still
up
alive.
The word. I was listening to Stevie Wonder song yesterday, bro. I looked up the words, bro. Stevie was on this shit, bro. On that motherfucking man, Stevie's hell.
Stevie was clean.
What was it? I forgot, talking about the city. That's my little cut.
Yeah, I like that too.
I was riding in my people's car and they got that old school satellite shit and Stevie Wonder came on that Part-Time Lover.
Yeah.
And I always liked it, but I ain't never really heard what he was saying until I went on YouTube and I looked up the words and that nigga was saying some shit, bro, and they can't see. But he done did some creeping and shit, bro. Like, that was a dope ass.
Stevie
song.
Got a bunch of kids and shit. They don't even think Stevie blind.
Stevie was doing some sneaking around, bro. He's doing some sneaky linking and shit, bro.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
I was thinking about remaking that motherfucker, man.
My old school favorite nigga is probably Ron Isley, man. That nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
That nigga got some cuts. And
that nigga got some cuts.
That's another reason why
he
reinvented
himself so many times. Oh,
man. He do what he want. Yeah. Like him and Charlie Wilson, they do what the fuck they want, but he helped me see that if I was an A&R, I get a sexy red. You feel me? I get how it just sells. We've had Kim, but the raunchy music, it goes back all the way till then. You know what I'm saying? My nigga said, "Oh, I'm coming.
Man,
coming on strong." You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, it was just a smooth. It's a smooth. Ooh, I love those ways.
That shit go over their head though.
Come on, man. It went over our heads because we was young.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what the fuck was going on.
Exactly what the fuck.
You know what I'm saying? So the raunchy music, I just feel like the raunchy music always been around, man. That shit
is,
you know what I'm saying? That's just a promise that you're going to have some raunchy shit. You know what I'm saying?
You think Sexy Red is too raunchy? I heard on that, boop, 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 that remix. None of my
I like
ass.
That's the only. That's like, listen. That's the only song I like on this new Drake is "Shake That Ass for Drake." Shake That Ass for Me.
I ain't gonna lie, man. Sexy Red, man, she's hell, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you
she's
who made Sexy Red
shit,
possible.
Man, shit that man,
everybody's thinking.
About. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like a chick you could just see as shorties. Like you'll just see her. Like she just. I love when real
she's
make
one
it.
Of them calls for the hoes.
Yeah,
bitches,
you.
Bro.
Oh man, definitely. She's definitely.
Give her a Lawrence Gizzard.
You feel
smoke
me?
A couple blunts.
You feel me? She good, but like Sexy Red, she's just like Gucci made the way for everybody. Like this, man. I'm telling you, like.
Yeah. Yeah,
Gucci
yeah.
came out with the rawest shit to where it's like, even if this shit ain't good, this shit's good.
Y'all you know like his saying? New album?
Yeah, I actually liked it, especially the intro.
I ain't heard of them. I've been seeing motherfuckers posted though. My
yeah, I liked
it. He said that motherfuckers heat, so.
But Gucci's Gucci. Mm. Gucci's just gonna rap. He ain't gonna do nothing else, you know what I'm saying? He's just sober now. You know what I'm saying? You gotta deal with, if you ain't nigga that's always under the influence, I think that's why Future hit so hard, because Future put niggas on drugs, and then it's like, shit, I don't even do drugs. Now everybody just on drugs,
that's
listen
crazy.
To that shit.
They said Stone Cold didn't drink beer back in the day.
That's a bad motherfucker.
Damn.
See, but Future's my, from my generation, he's my favorite. If I, you know what I'm saying, was going to do a song with somebody from my generation, that's who it would be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fuck with Henderson,
you definitely going, it's definitely going to hit.
He ain't going to let you down.
Nah, he ain't.
Not to change subjects, but I always remember, man, the dingling, the sparkling hat. You still got those, right? I'm like, man,
I
want to.
I still got them hats, man.
What you got, about 50 of them? I know you had about a mean, you got a mean hat on now, man.
I had a hell of a collection of them hats, man. I always been fucked up about them hats, bro. I got a hell of a hat collection, bro. I swear I need to go on and open up a little hat store, man, and sell them.
Man.
They just.
Definitely.
They just. Man, I got a hell of a hat collection.
Were you doing them? Were you putting the beads on yourself? Were you doing?
Nah,
them?
I got a. I had a stylist, man, to do them, man. Shout out to Rudy, man. Rudy the Rhinestone King, man. He's
okay.
on Instagram too. Y'all can follow him, Rudy. Rudy Long 73, man. He make them hats, and he still make them to this day, man. Them motherfuckers is dope, bro. He do them by hand, and like he's the truth, bro. Like he always been the truth, bro. I just started wearing them so much to where I made them pop. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Everybody associate me with them hats. You know what I'm saying? But like. Yeah, my dude, do him hats.
Is he local?
Yeah, he's from here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He's from here. Yeah, hell yeah. He's dope, man. He's dope. He do hats. He do shoes. He a rhinestone a whole jacket for you. He's dope.
Damn,
I used to get clothes shit made from him, too. I get my clothes and shit drew up, and then he a rhinestone the clothes. Yeah, he call himself the Rhinestone King, man. He's dope, man.
Man, that's very talented, bro. You got a very talented mind, too, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask artists that's from the city, because the outside looking in, it's like, shit, it's only a... Bruh's only a song away, or, you know what I'm saying? Why do you think artists like yourself, like, you feel me? Like, we talked about your cousin JT. JT's like a young Tory cutthroat.
As
a
people?
Yep.
That's my little cousin.
Oh, yeah.
He like Tupac
cousin.
And Tory Lanez all in one. You feel
I
me?
Swear,
it's like, you feel me? What do you think... What do you think that the city would need for artists like yourself to... Should have been pop, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like Atlanta, you could be famous in Atlanta, nobody here know you, you know what I'm saying? You know
see,
what I'm saying?
This
so
this is the thing with that, I think,
and with like labels too. Them cities got major labels.
I think we ain't got enough artists that's making it mainstream and then reaching back, realizing that it's some artists here that got the
that deserve it.
And doing a song like in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? Future, he'll reach back and do a song with.
Scooter,
underground,
right.
No, nobody
yeah,
artist
right.
from Atlanta,
yeah.
because he know they got it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then two or three albums later, he's a young Scooter, he's a you know what I'm saying? But like her, you know what I'm saying? I think it'll take a Jack Harlow, a Bryson Tiller, ESTG,
right.
to just reach back and do songs with the artists that they know got it, instead of being like, nah, just fuck them niggas. They ain't from where I'm from. They ain't signed to me. I ain't making no money off of it. I ain't doing no song with them. I'm going to do a song with Sierra, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whoever it might be, you know what I'm saying? So that's what it take. Like, it take the artists that got the platform to reach back. You know what I'm saying? We got to really stick together on this music shit, man. And I don't see it really happening because...
It's a lot of beef.
It's segregated.
A lot of
it's
static
segregated.
In the city.
It's
man,
segregated,
I cut on a certain... I ain't going to say his name. I cut on a certain rapper... And oh God, man, I was riding with a little chick, you know. I'm just throwing a little music. I ain't in the streets. I don't know nothing about
facts. You play the wrong music.
How dare you?
Oh man, you're a target.
Yeah.
You damn near what they
yeah.
with them. Yeah, right. It's what you own.
That's what she said. Is that what you own? What the fuck you talking about? Hold on, bitch.
You can't even like the song. You guys act like you. It's good music.
Yeah,
I think Gucci was like the king of that though. Like Gucci man. Was going back. And
that's what we. It's what it takes. Like. Shit, man, I swear to you, man, I wouldn't give a fuck where motherfuckers from. I do songs with whoever. If I know, if I like it, I'm going to do a song with you. You know what I'm saying? I done did songs from people from up east, Newburgh, Indiana. You know what I'm saying? I got people's, man, I done did songs with, I got people from Atlanta, Georgia. I do songs with people from everywhere. It ain't got nothing to do with no section.
And then me on the outside looking in, that's why I said that. So, not to cut you off, bro.
Yeah.
But
you did.
My fault. But like you, like I said, on the outside looking in, I feel like, man, bro, good everywhere. You can reach out and touch him when he's right there. Like, you feel me? He's at the store. He's at the club.
And that's another thing I be trying to explain to my young guys, man. Like, y'all going to make it to where y'all are prisoner of y'all hood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's cool to be from the hood. It's cool to rep your hood. But don't rep it to the point to where
you trapped in a box.
To where you trapped in a box, man.
Mm-hmm.
To where you can't even leave the hood. You can't go nowhere. You can't go to this store. You can't go over here and fuck with these people because you done been so yo hood that you anti everything else. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
That's what I ain't never been. I'm diehard Park Hill, but I fuck with everybody. I love everybody from this city. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't give a fuck where you from. I fuck with you. I fuck with real niggas all over the world. You know what I'm saying? And people respect it. And people realize it. They understand, you know what I'm saying, that I'm different. You know what I'm saying? They might not like, they section might be beefing with my section, but like I can go today, hood day, and be good. Walk through, no gun, no nothing, and I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? Because they know that ain't the kind of energy I bring. You know what I'm saying?
Why you think Park Hill got a bad rap? I made like a little post. I was just joking.
I ain't gonna lie. Park Hill always had a bad rap, bro. Mm-hmm. Park Hill always had a bad rap. They said we had AIDS, bro. It was so long ago, bro.
Yeah,
nobody,
I remember that.
Ain't nobody died. Ain't nobody caught a cold.
None of that.
Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, 20 years later, it done fizzled out because they realized, niggas must really didn't have AIDS. But back then, do you know how hard it was to get to meet a new shorty and be like, where you from? I'm from, I got to say 12th Street. I got to say 12th Street till I get in good with her.
Uh-huh.
And then once she figured it out, I'm already in. But like, man, you can't tell a bitch you from Park Hill back then. They going
to
be.
You had to keep it a secret.
You had to keep it a secret because they really believed that I had AIDS, bro.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Remember that. Yeah.
You can't tell that shit.
Where did that come from? Was this like a hating ass nigga or something?
Bro, you got to understand.
You're probably fucking some niggas.
Yeah, this nigga. I swear to God, this is the honest God truth. God rest. My big brother Pinky, God rest his soul, bro.
R.P.
Bro, R.P. back in the day, bro, me and my big brother was so fly and so, you know what I'm saying, like so much of them niggas to where we was fucking so many, we I ain't gonna say we was fucking so many bitches, but we just had that.
You're fucking the right one, yeah.
We just had that it factor to where we was the heartthrobs of the city and people put their label on them, like, don't fuck with them niggas, they got AIDS, and it just went from her. Mm-hmm. And it started from me and him. And it just traveled to the whole Park Hill, got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just got bigger than life. You know what I'm saying?
Because I made a post.
A rumor go hurt, and it just, man.
Let it go.
You can't undo it. You can try to.
That's a legend. This is a legendary
story.
Yeah, man. Story. How this shit got started.
It just started with me, bro.
Damn.
Yeah. So.
I had all them cars and shit. I had drop tops and old schools with on gold ones lined up in that drive. And niggas, girls and shit was coming up right just to. Yeah. Be up there and try to be around the nigga and shit. Mm-hmm. And niggas was mad about it, bro. And they made that room up, bro.
Don't quote me on this, but this is the first nigga in the city that had the stingray. You still got the yellow stingray?
Damn.
I swear that when you pull that mother.
I end up selling it, man. I end up selling the stingray to my white boy and shit, man.
But you was like one of the first two niggas I done seen. You know what I mean? It was somebody up east with a red one. But
I ain't going to even lie. I got to give props where they do. My nigga Cam had one before me. And then, My nigga G from up 7th Street, LeGarry had one, and Cam had one, and then I was waiting. See, I had designed mine. I had already ordered mine. I had designed it online because they had it to where you can design it on a computer and make it to where you want it, how you want it.
Yeah.
And mine hadn't came in yet. I wanted a drop top. I could have got the Stingray early, but I wanted a drop, you know what I'm saying? And then it just came out, so, you know what I'm saying, I was waiting on mine, so I was just like, any day now. And then my nigga them got theirs like a a couple weeks before me. So I'm like, damn, I'm looking at him like, well, I know what I'm in for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
my
yeah.
nigga had a red one. My other nigga had a silver one. You know what I'm saying? So I already know I got the yellow one with the motherfucking peanut butter top with the peanut butter guts. So I'm like, mm-hmm. just waiting back. But, you know, I done had all the, like, Corvettes is my favorite car. So, like, I had all the Corvettes. Like, I done had all the Corvettes starting from my way back to an 85.
Oh, yeah?
And they all been yellow. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I always had a yellow Corvette. You feel me? I done had every year, every model that they ever had.
Damn.
So you said you had some old schools too? Like,
yeah, I still got old school. I kept my old school. I got an old school that I kept all these years. I gave it to my son when he turned 16 and shit.
Mm-hmm.
A motherfucking 68 Impala.
So
Bert?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, that's a hell of a first car.
Yeah, I'm waiting on him. He got to put a motor in it and shit. So like when he get it together, I told him I ain't gonna help you. I'm gonna let you for you can really respect it. Like, you
right.
know, if I do it for you, you'll fuck around and just drive it and wreck it around. You know what I'm right. saying? Drive mm-hmm. it. But if you work hard and put some money into
you
it, you'll respect
to
it and
nothing.
Treat that motherfucker like I treated it. Because I kept that motherfucker all these years. Garage kept. I probably pulled it out. I probably drove it like 5 times in 16 years. I got it when he was born.
Damn.
And I told him, I'm going to give this to you when you turn 16. I kept
that's
him up for 16
fuck,
years
man.
And I gave it to him.
So a more personal story.
Yeah, it's still in the garage right now.
A more personal question is, how bad did Derby fuck up your collection? Not fuck up your collection, but I remember as
like
a young
bring
nigga,
the competition in.
You know what
yeah,
I'm saying? Because
uh-huh.
when I was a young nigga, man. Like you're a little older than us, so when yeah. they stopped the cruising, I
see,
wasn't even
I
driving yet. You feel
like
me?
Derby's was like Derby's was
all
bigger
I remember.
Than, Derby's is bigger than Christmas to me. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I went to the feds. I did 5 years, and I swear to God, I was away from Kentucky. They had me in Indiana, in Terre Haute, Indiana. You know what I'm saying? And like I miss. 6 Christmases, 6 birthdays, and 6 derbies. And birthdays be all right, Christmas be hurtful, New Year's be hurtful, but
Derby,
and don't nobody understand, because like when you in the feds, everybody's depressed Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, send them good holidays on their birthday and shit, they
yeah.
sad and shit, but like Derby, don't nobody even understand
yeah, yeah.
why
nah.
I'm so,
yeah.
why I'm in this mood. Like
it ain't
am,
even got nothing
nigga.
To do with no horses.
Derby, I'm like, man, do anybody got a newspaper that I can read from home? You know what I'm saying? Ain't number 5 people from Louisville in this motherfucking whole prison.
Yeah.
I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to get a newspaper if I can just see something, a picture. Or anything to read something. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Derby like a big influence on me. Like I used to love Derby, especially the Derbies that we used to have before they fucked it up now.
Man.
Like what's one of your best like memories, like some of your best memories, like one of your from Derby?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. One year Derby, man. I knew Derby was coming. I was loaded. I had plenty of money and shit. And that's when I was young and stupid. I was just fucking up my money on cars. Like I used to be fucked up best. Cars, bro. You know what I'm
uh-huh.
saying? I had a yellow vet. I had a blue Monte Carlo. You know what I'm saying? An old school Monte Carlo, candy paint on gold ones. And then I had bought me a. Everybody knew I had it because I already had that. But I just got me a Corvette. They ain't know about. And then I got me a Skylark, a '72 Skylark. And I called that motherfucker the Sprite Machine. I had painted that motherfucker green with the yellow guts, and I had air right on it. I had got all gold ones on it, and nobody hadn't seen it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So they knowing that I got my Monte Carlo painted, and I got new interior and shit, and did it over. So they thinking I'm coming through them Derby with just that. Man, I came through with all them motherfuckers at once, and I put all
man,
my niggas.
Crazy.
I put all my niggas in the cars, and we rode back to back and hit Broadway. And then my little cousin had came home. My little cousin Washray came home. And he had bought a candy purple deuce and a quarter with white guts. All my niggas was doing good. My nigga Harlem had a motherfucking candy green Impala with spinners. When them Latrell Sprewell was
yeah.
at the spinners.
Oh,
all
spinners.
My niggas, man. Everybody, we was about 15 cars deep. We rolled through the city, hit Cox Park. We raced down River Road. Man, that was one of my best derbies of all time. And then like every year,
what
like,
year was this? You say
I can't even remember what year it was. It had to be like 04 or something, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy,
but like M Derbies, we'll compete with each other at the time too. But I don't know if y'all remember, but like them nap niggas would come down and shit on us every year.
Yeah.
Cincinnati niggas and then like nap and shit, they'll come down because they'll synchronize and they'll have a crew with all Monte Carlos, all Impalas, all, you know what I'm saying, different colors and shit. You know what I'm saying?
So the nap niggas would come down there.
Yeah, they'll come down and jump on us. Like we think we did good, and we got all different cars, but they'll come down with everybody got the same exact car with different colors and they'll be in a row.
Yeah,
it just look different. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, they all got the same exact car, different colors, different rims, different. You know what I'm saying? And that shit was just looking dope. But that year right there, we gave them hell.
That's crazy that they stopped that on.
What was the hoes like, man? I was too young.
See, that's bro, what I was about to say though.
I ain't gonna even lie. I saw the guy used to look. This is what I used to do because I was always a behind the scene type nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You had to know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I knew who I was, so I was cool with that. I knew I was that nigga. You know what I'm saying? But like, I love the have nots. I get one of the little niggas from my hood that didn't have nothing, and I put him in the driver's seat. I said, "Drive this motherfucker. You better not wreck it, little nigga."
Yeah.
And I'd be in the passenger side, and we'll pull down Screaming Eagles, which was Cole's name, but it used to be Screaming Eagles back then, and it was stupid. And I swear, boy, I watched them bitches flock to a little nigga. They'd be like, "Whose car is this?" I'm like, "Man, it's this little nigga's car, man."
Yeah.
How old are you? Man, little niggas, it don't matter how old he is, he's rich, you feel me?
Yeah.
Man, them bitches be on him and shit. And that was back in the day when bitches, I don't know what made bitches want to get naked on Derby. Like, they'd be on the roof taking everything, golfing. Man, all you had to do was
have a car. It wasn't none of this shit.
It wasn't none of this. It had the cameras, but that was it. That's what I was just about to say.
When you asked about the hoes, I lived in Hampton Place. I grew up in Hampton Place, like, for most of the time I can remember. You know, that's right by Central Stadium.
Yeah.
The first pair of titties I seen off TV.
Yeah, it was.
Pussy, anything. It's just.
I was right on 32nd, nigga. Man. I was right.
Yeah, you right there, too.
Listen, my big brother.
I'm in Hampton Place, a block over.
Back then, it wasn't no smartphones. It wasn't no camera phones. But my big brother, shout out to Rocky Red, my big brother. He always had a camera. This is before it was unheard of to just run around with a camera, but he always had like a digital camera, a state-of-the-art camera for the years that we was in. And he got some of the dopest footage, bro, from back in the days. Like you know what I'm saying? I hate to say it, but he got niggas' mamas and aunties and shit when they was young thotties, you feel me? Busting it open and shit,
like
bro.
Freak
like,
man,
like
Freak Nick. Man,
like Freak Nick, too. I miss, and that's another thing, too. I hate that I miss Freak Nick, bro.
I miss
Freak Nick. I never got to make it to one Freak Nick.
Somebody needs to definitely do a.
They did a redo
documentary on Derby though, because I'm telling you, Hampton Place is a block over from Broadway.
Big and Lazy's gonna do the fucking.
Yeah, we need to go ahead and do it. Go and interview then, everybody
and then
with
do
the don'ts.
Man, I can get y'all the old footage that y'all need to make it motherfucker dope.
You know, hey, Tyreek
Connect. We got some old footage from Derby, man. Motherfucker gonna be like, "Mama, was that you?"
Definitely.
They gonna be tore up when they see their mama in them little booty shorts.
I remember my cousin one year. my cousin Tanisha.
I see my mama on there. Break my fucking heart. I never look at
my cousin Tanisha. She was
their mama on there, man.
She was somewhere out of town and she came back on like Derby. And she was like, "Girl," my granny was like, "Girl, if you leave out of her, you better take Tajay. Because she knows she ain't going to do too much with me."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All she wanted to do was go down there right by that BP.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? By where the city girl is. That's where I lived at. And that shit was so cracking. The first pair of titties I seen, she was like, You want to touch some titties, little nigga?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, shit, this shit's crazy."
Like, real shit. Derby's crazy. Really what turned me out to be a hustler because, like, I remember my senior year, the Derby.
What school did you go to?
I went to Central.
Okay. Oh, man.
I remember being on 12th and Broadway on a bike, and it was cracking. And I seen some niggas from my hood that was my age, and they was rolling with the older niggas from my hood. And they probably did to them what I did to my little young niggas, had them driving them drops and shit. And I'm looking like, damn, bro. He's my age, bro. He's...
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. This nigga 16, bro.
They even know hating shit. He's hanging, some like, some
and he's
like,
hanging with the he's hanging with the in crowd of people that I want to really, you know what I'm saying. And I had a choice that day. I swear to God, I made a choice that day to take his scholarship and go hoop, out of hustle.
Yeah,
and nigga, I still hustling that day. I went back to the hood and still hustling that day, nigga. The next year, nigga, I had my own candy whip on gold once, nigga, on Derby, nigga.
Termination, nigga.
So
real shit.
Yeah.
What'd you have a scholarship to? Who'd you have a scholarship?
Jarvis Christian College in Texas, man. My that's the school my daddy went to and he got me in, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Because for real, my grades wasn't really good enough for real, but right. I was talented, you know what I'm saying? And my daddy had some pull down there. He was like the valedictorian and shit. But me and him was total opposite. My daddy was like really smart. He was like a genius and shit, you know what I'm saying? Right. But he used his little pool and got me in.
Yeah.
And
you know what Biggie said? You the slinging, you know out, you got that jump shot.
I wanted to go. I wanted to make him proud at the same time, too. But I just didn't have nothing. And I wanted something. You know what I'm saying? And I knew. I didn't know what I wanted. But I knew it was more than just going to college and 4 years of just, you know.
Yeah. Right.
My mom and them taking care of me for another 4 years. Calling home. Send me some money. I'm broke.
Eating noodles. And
yeah, eating noodles and shit.
And then to come home and just be a hustler. Yeah. You could have just been doing that from jump type shit.
It
wasn't
in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I had to make my decision. Like, and it crushed my mom and them. You know what I'm saying? I had to leave home. I had to leave home and be out in the streets. You know what I'm saying? To prove to them. Because they told me, if you ain't going, you know, they got me up out of her. So I was in the streets. And a couple months later, I came back home like, this is what I did.
Yeah.
Mm. Got a whole shoebox full of shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've been this ever since, man.
So I made a post on Facebook to go back at Park Hill. I made a, just joking around, I said, would you rather live in Park Hill for 3 years, rent free, I do a month in the county jail. You know how many niggas said they'd do the month in the county? Man, give me the fucking 3 years. That's the most ghost.
They hate the hood, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
We asked Luther that question. I said, man, put me on the parkway.
Get me about the right on the liquor store, man.
Luther lived in Park Hill for 10 years. He don't want to tell nobody. When he was doing all them podcasts, all them lives on, and he's one of the worst ones. I used to be mad at Luther. I ain't going to lie, because he got all the worst Park Hill jokes, bro. Uh-huh. But he lived right out there, bro.
Yeah.
Really? Like,
telling people that you live in Park Hill, bro.
Yeah.
You live in Building 20, bro.
While he was doing the podcast?
Yes, while he was doing the going to live.
Hold on.
Park Hill. Listen, Park Hill, that, bro. He lived in Park Hill.
No, hold on. I'm going to see.
I see him every day. I used to be mad, bro.
Hold on.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't taking it personal, because I know it's comedy. Yes, bro.
Tone the fuck out.
Yes, bro.
Wait a minute.
Park Hill, bro.
Say it one more time.
I ain't going to say 10 years, but he lived out there for at least.
Why he was Park Hill and Park Hill and then he was in Park Hill? No,
he ain't from Park Hill.
Why he was saying all this?
Nah, he probably did it right after he moved.
Ah, okay.
He still being a Park Hill hater. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I inboxed him one day like, bro, you got a lot of hostility for my hood for you to was out there for so long, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said that. Remember, nobody bothered you, bro.
Remember we was on the podcast with him. I said, bro.
Lived in Park Hill for years and
I said,
years,
shit,
bro.
You lived there. So yes. I can see why you say you wouldn't versus somebody that's never lived there, because I ain't going to lie. When we was coming
up. How you gonna say that though? You lived in motherfuckers.
I kept a cousin in Park Hill. I used to be in Park Hill as a kid.
I'm from Park Hill, so of course I'm gonna say, you know what I'm saying, because I still go out there every day. But like, nigga, I would do 6 months in Cabrini Green. You could send me to Angola. I mean, you could send me to.
I ain't going to jail.
You could send me to motherfucking Magnolia Project somewhere out of state, bro, before I go to jail. Like,
I'm not going to jail. That's
a no-brainer.
Like you said, put you right across the street from the liquor store in the store. You good.
I was dealing with a little young hoe here recently. I was in Park. She was in Park Hill, but I ain't lingering around this motherfucker, but you know.
When you inside the apartment and you shut that door, if somebody got a clean apartment and shit,
you ain't gonna even
whatever's going on out there don't even pertain to you.
It ain't where you live, it's
how you live.
And you ain't got a key to that, you're not coming in that motherfucker. You ain't unless you got that boom, you know, that motherfucker keep it bang on
people,
you.
But MS people that's from the outside looking in, like,
thanks.
Nah, I can't go up there because they done did some shit and they know motherfucker be on their
ass. I don't bother nobody. I'm a working joke. I'm blowing blunt.
That's true, you ain't got no problem, bro.
You can come up there.
Facts.
You
niggas ain't going
to
be like, nigga, who are you walking through?
But ain't nobody going to bother
you. This is how I know it's facts, though. Like I said, I've had cousins grow up in Park Hill, so I've spent time in Park Hill. But coaching this football and pulling up, man, I see everybody I grew up with. Like, you feel what I'm saying? I think a lot of it is with Park Hill. It's like not influenced, but what he say, she say, motherfuckers, it show you how lame motherfuckers is to just run with shit. Cause I've had, you feel me, chicks I pull up on, somebody needs some bud, and I pull up in Park Hill and see everybody I know, like, you feel me? I feel like I'm one of them niggas that I can go to any hood. I ain't know nothing.
For real, bro, it's the happening spot, bro, on the weekends, bro. You feel me? Good. Like, it be people from all over. Don't just be Park Hill people out there. It be people from all over. And then you got to think about this, too, bro.
And it's motherfuckers that's never been in the hood, too.
We the last project standing in Louisville, Kentucky.
You think they're going to tear it down?
I don't think they are, because we just in the middle of the city. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, like Beecher was a little closer, too close to downtown. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Erica was a little close, too close to Churchill Downs. You know what I'm saying? But like, we really ain't. And then Southwick and Cotton Homes was just bad. You know what I'm saying?
They had to go. They was doing dirt right in the post.
Yeah, they just had to go. They put a police station inside that motherfucker, and they still going. So like,
still going.
They was just the worst of the worst. But like, Park Hill ain't really that bad.
Yeah.
And it's right here in the middle. It ain't really bothering nobody.
See, you know I don't respect.
Louisville trying to buy them out, didn't they?
They said they was. You know, we are close to U of L, but like, I don't think we're close enough to where they gonna buy. They don't care. They don't want Park Hill.
But it's the same thing why I hate niggas to be like, I don't listen to so and so. He a rat. And like, man, you ain't never even been through nothing to be like, shit, this nigga a rat. Nigga, I stand on this. You don't stand on nothing. You feel me? Some people never been to Park Hill. Some people never been to Beecher. Some people never been to no hood. I remember being up Village as a young nigga. My auntie lived up.
I ain't never been in no.
But you're not scared.
I spent my childhood up Village West.
Mm-hmm. If somebody said, "Big, come up here," you not shit. You're not the one of them niggas that you know somebody's looking for you. You feel me? Come on now. Like, I hate when motherfuckers insert themselves into. I'll never live up Park Hill, but you've always lived in a nice crib, and you never had to live up Park Hill or
nigga.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shut the fuck up.
Like homie said, that apartment was decked, had snacks falling out the refrigerator.
Oh, it's gonna be
Wi-Fi busting.
You get you one of them good project bitches that's clean and got them food stamps and shit, man.
And
you
she working,
man. Shit, you
come
shit.
On, man. You home,
man.
Home.
I'm good. I'm
had
straight.
A little hustle, shit. You know.
And, definitely. And it's excitement, like, especially if you ain't from the projects, man. The projects is exciting, bro.
Man.
It's some shit going on, like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's music playing. You smell weed in the air. Motherfuckers is doing shit. Like, it's some shit going around the building. You won't know what's going on over it. But what's that? It's like a little festival around that motherfucker. Right. Projects is live.
And FaceTime, I just saying. That's a little chick from the projects.
I'm gonna tell you why. When my little cousins lived in Park Hill, I'm gonna tell you why I was good in Park Hill when I was young. Cause everybody I knew lived in Iroquois, and Iroquois was the same way. How you said? I remember being a young nigga, and my stepbrother waking me up like, man, I can't leave this nigga in the house. Come outside real quick with me.
Yeah.
And it's some motherfuckers fighting in the middle of the night. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. I'm a baby
it's just
nigga.
The excitement
like,
of it. You know what I'm saying?
They about to start building that up though.
I don't see why. Iroquois. My thing is, I don't see why they ain't tear it down and build it back up anyway. All that land over there, that's some fucked up shit. But
that's prime real estate right there by the interstate.
Come on, man.
Minutes from Churchill Downs.
I'd have been in all the hoods, bro. All the hoods is the same.
It was action out Iroquois, man.
Yeah, Iroquois was cracking.
Be mad at me. They tried to jump me out Iroquois. Man. On my birthday.
You want to know why they tried
to? Was it over a female?
Over a bitch. I got caught in there. And nigga came and knocked on the door and I couldn't get out.
I couldn't take it out.
I was stuck in there. I tried waiting him out, but I couldn't. I had to go on and leave.
That shit happened to me when I was at Village West.
Did you have your heat on?
I ain't have no heat on me. It was my birthday and I was going out and I just stopped over. Because I was clean. I had a new outfit on and I knew I was fine. Shit.
And they say he was stuck inside.
I wanted to put a little impression. I was young too.
Yeah.
I wanted to put a little impression on her. And then, you know, bitches don't be telling a nigga everything. I ain't knowing that she got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little crazy about her. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and at the time, I don't give a fuck about nothing. I'm showing up because I want some pussy. So I showed up, man. This nigga started hitting the door, kicking it, and doing all kind of crazy shit. He wouldn't leave. I'm like, I'm going to just wait him out.
Yeah.
One way in.
He wouldn't leave. And then I was trying to make it to the Velvet, man. I had to come on out, man.
Velvet Rose?
Yeah.
You miss that, man?
Man, the Velvet Rose is the club of all clubs, man.
I remember I had my, in 98.
Listen, man.
It's Coles. I done been in night.
He took a deep breath.
I ain't gonna lie. I saw the guy Coles. I love Coles. And a shout out to Mr. Cole. God rest his soul, man. Mr. Cole is my nigga, man.
You gotta have a look, Cole.
See, I was never close to Willie Rose like I was to Mr. Cole. Mr. Cole was my nigga. I go back her in the back in the camp room.
Yeah, you're home.
I'm watching her out there. Partying and shit on the cameras and on the screens and shit. I ain't never have it with Willie Rose. You know what I'm saying? God rest his soul too. But the Velvet Rose was the first club that I fell in love with, and that was like a religion to us. Like I wasn't missing the Velvet. Damn. I wouldn't give a fuck what's
going on.
When
did it jump? What night did it jump?
Like Sunday, man.
Sunday night?
And we ain't had a Sunday like the Velvet Rose since, bro. That's another thing, too. The Velvet had its own day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't never seen another Sunday like the Velvet, bro.
Damn. I remember I'm a little younger than you.
That was the day of the week. Like, you know how, like, clubs pop. You're looking forward to Friday and Saturday for certain reasons. But, like, I didn't give a fuck about Friday, Saturday, Thursday. No, nigga, Sunday is all I care about.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the Velvet. I was 8 years old in 98. We had like a football banquet there. So I don't really remember, you know, no stories or nothing, but I remember, that's my only memory of the Velvet. Yeah. But my club, I had Mama's, Jim Porter's.
Jim Porter's was a bad motherfucker.
Jim Porter's was the ghetto mansion.
Some of my favorite clubs, man. The Velvet Rose, Jim Porter's. I was fucked up. I like Phoenix Hill was a bad motherfucker too, man.
Phoenix,
I don't know.
Never been to Phoenix. You know
what I'm crazy. What?
Phoenix was a bad motherfucker too,
I used
man.
To get off work at 11 and
get
go.
Lost in Phoenix, man. Yeah. Phoenix had some weird little rooms. You're going, you're going one of them little floors and turn
some rock and roll
way and be some little rock and roll. Mm-hmm. It was different, man.
I'm gonna tell you my drink at
it was, man.
My drink
was different, man.
Even if I had money or not, my drink at Phoenix was Paul and Coke.
The Paul?
If a dollar, they're like $2 or a dollar.
You can't beat that.
Hell no. Sure, you want a drink?
Phoenix was like that too, man.
Yeah, I fuck with Phoenix.
Jim Porter's was the first club I ever did a show in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I came home from the feds and I started rapping and shit and my music started taking off. I was still on the watch. I still had a federal watch on my ankle and I went and did a show at Jim Porter's. My very first show, my very first time on the stage rapping was at Jim Porter's, bro.
Damn.
And back then I was so nervous that I had to wear glasses. I used to have my first couple shows, I used to have to wear dark shades because I couldn't look at the crowd, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's how I knew as I began building my confidence, I stopped wearing shades and I started making eye contact looking at people, you know what I'm saying? Especially when they start learning the word. When that's all I really ever cared about was people knowing the words to my song. Like I never really wanted to be.
Yeah.
I never like had rappers be like, I wanna get rich and make this shit pop. I kind of started off rapping. I was already rich. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I already had more money than other rappers that was already rapping. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, with me, I was just like, I always doubted myself as an artist. So, like, my first goal, my only really goal was I want people to learn my music and to know it and really just be reciting my shit word for word.
Right.
And, man, when that first happened, I remember because me and this nigga, man, he was like, he came to me. We was in the club. He was like, nigga, they know the words.
Yeah.
That was the turning point. You know what I'm saying?
See, that's my fault, big.
Could you
go ahead.
Could you you said you did Fed Time. You wanna talk about why you did, you know? If you want to?
Mm-hmm. See, for real with the Fed situation, bro, like with me, I was always able to evade the police and shit, you know what I'm saying? So like all the police that was in my neighborhood, they always hated me because I was the top name that they always heard, but I never come outside, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing about me. Like, I never hung out. Once I started being somebody, I knew I had to stay behind closed doors, you know what I'm saying? So, I watched the police and shit from my window, but they ain't know where I was. I had so many spots in the hood. I switch up and shit. They ain't know where to find me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They ain't even never seen me in real life. They just had a picture of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The first, when they ever finally got me, they got me with a gun, you know what I'm saying? I caught some cases when I was a young nigga, you know what I'm saying? And I was a convicted felon from some dope cases and shit from before then. But, like, the police that was in my hood that was terrorizing all my young niggas, they end up eventually catching me with a gun, and I was already a convicted felon. So, like, I got caught with a Glock with a Stendo on it with a infrared beam, and they was able to make it go federal because it was a modified handgun.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
And they gave you 5 years for the gun?
They gave me 5 years. I had never been in prison. I ain't never did more than a day in jail.
Damn, straight to five.
They sent me to Terre Haute USP because I had a prior shooting. I had a shootout where I got into a shootout and a girl and a baby got hit. You know what I'm saying? A 10-month-old baby got hit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So me and some dudes tried to rob me. We got into a shootout. Something happened and the baby ended up getting hit. So like they made this like a real big deal. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But how I got off of it, because the girl ended up coming to court with me saying that, like, y'all got the wrong person. Like, he ain't the one shot me, and he's a good dude. Like, he's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Y'all got the wrong person. So I ended up getting off. I got probation, you know what I'm saying? So I walked down to probation and shit. But after that, they just hated me, you know what I'm saying? They really hated me
because
I was facing 40 years, you know what I'm saying? And then she still coming to court.
And they wanted
me, like,
that. They wanted that.
The news
years.
Was coming to court. They all in my face and shit. So when I had her coming to court with me, and she's telling them, like, y'all got the wrong person locked up. Y'all got an innocent man locked. They hated my guts for murder, you know what I'm saying? So they came to me with a little offer. I took the probation, you know what I'm saying? No jail time.
So how much of that?
I'm not going to say. This is probably the best interview we never had. But he's giving some games.
You know what I'm saying? Some real shit. You know what I'm saying? So I went to the feds. I went to the feds. I did 63 months in the feds. And I come home. Right before I went to the feds, I had started doing music.
That's what I was about to ask.
So I had started doing music right, like when I got that studio.
Yeah.
I told you I got that studio. I started doing music and people started liking it. But right after that, I did like maybe four songs. Mm-hmm. I had four songs under my belt and I went to the feds. You feel me? When I came home, but when I was in the feds the whole time, I'm telling everybody that I'm meeting like, I'm going to do this music. And then my niggas, I told my little brother, and shout out to CEO Harlem. I said, listen, bro, I don't care. I don't need nothing from you. Just keep this music shit going. Right. We had started a label called Street Team. I said, keep this music shit going for me, bro. That's all I care about. When I come home, that's all I'm doing is music. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he did. He kept his word and he made that Street Team shit go. You know what I'm saying? He kept the music shit going. So when I came home, soon as I got home, I started doing music and people latched onto it because they know I'm really a nigga and I live what I'm rapping about and shit. You know what I'm saying? So
keep it real with me. How much of that you having to go do prison time affected you? You started getting into music. You was away five flat, or was it cut?
Feds don't do no cut. You gotta do everything. You gotta do the whole everything.
So how much of that you think affected your career?
It affected it a lot because when I came home, I was older than a lot of artists that just start, you know what I'm saying? But in my mind, like when you go to prison, bro, you be preserved. Like I still looked young.
Right.
But I was a lot older than people thought that I was. But didn't nobody know how old I was. So when I came out as an artist, they still thinking I'm young, you know what I'm saying? But really I started at 30 years old, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I ain't really get a buzz until I was already older, you know what I'm saying? But people thinking I'm 19 or 20 because I look good and I'm healthy and I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm fresh out the feds, so I look good. I've been eating good. I'm healthy and shit. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, my shit started taking off. And really, my shit really took off. Like, I was doing music and they loved it in the hood and they loved it in the city and shit. But, like, I didn't really start getting success until I ended up meeting AT.
Right.
He knew the business part of it. I knew how to make good music. I knew how to make hit music, but he knew the business part of it. He knew about ASCAPs and getting your shit owning your own name and different shit that I didn't even know existed. You know what I'm saying? So once I got with him, shit just took off. Like, we started touring and it started being bigger than life. Shit started coming at me so fast, you know what I'm saying, that I really didn't even know how to. I didn't know how to really even, you know what I'm saying? Like shit, it's really real.
Remember you went to Denver and you hired a cameraman. Like, was that part of your tour? Like, what was
We was on tour still then, man. We was we went to the cannabis cup. You know what I'm saying? We had a.
How was that? Because I know you was more stupid.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. I was smoking back then, so really, I got so high I didn't even make it to my show, bro.
Make
it to my show, but you know, when you got your own cameraman, you're gonna make this shit look good. So, like, we still got good pictures out of it, we got good publicity out of it and shit. And I was on the tour bus and shit, and it was just we still had a ball. Like, I was really just enjoying myself, bro. You know what I'm saying?
What made you put the bud down?
That's what I was about to say. What made you quit smoking weed?
Because, like, I start smoking too much, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then it wasn't even like after, like, if you smoke too much, bro, it ain't even.
You ain't getting high no more. You get the same.
I'm telling you.
I'm smoking 2 ounces of exotic a day, and I'm just normal. Like, it's just normal life to me, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
2 ounces a day?
Yeah, a day. Damn,
56
bro.
Grams?
Yeah. That's when I start smoking, man, no, it ain't, bro. I'm smoking the woods. I'm putting 7 grams on the wood, bro. I'm smoking it by myself. Somebody won't hit it, I tell them, here, take this and roll you something out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I don't even want to let you hit my shit. I got to the point of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how we is, dude.
I went on a cruise, and I went to the Bahamas and shit. So, when I was on the cruise, I didn't have a balcony room, so I couldn't smoke and shit in my room.
Right.
So I used to have to go to my people's room and smoke. So I noticed that I went a day, 2 days. I'm like, damn, I ain't smoked at all today. I ain't smoked in 2 days. So when I left the cruise, I got home. When I got home, I don't know, I just had like a spiritual awakening. I rolled up me a wood, and I didn't even fire it up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm through. If I can do 3-4 days a week without smoking, and I was strict, I was having so much fun, I'm like, I done forgot to smoke today.
Damn.
I'm like, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to see where it's taking me. I'm going to build my little money back up. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, smoking start being a habit. Yeah. Like, it start being a hell of a deal.
Yeah, it's going to cost you, especially if you're going to try to.
Like, that's a whole nother rent.
If you at that point, you ain't smoking nothing less than.
I was smoking a whole nother rent. Really, like, I could have got a whole nother condo off just my smoking habit. Like, so I said, bro, that's junkie shit, bro. I got a cocaine smoking habit, like, damn near. You know what I'm saying? That ain't me, bro.
It was a pleasure talking to you, man. It was a really good interview. But the podcast is Big and Lazy. You might throw legendary on there. You gave us an idea.
Hey,
might
throw legendary on there, man. Put the big lazy legendary podcast, baby.
We got that's you. That's supposed to sound good. I'm going to say something before we get out of here. Man, y'all don't understand. When we say legendary, we talking about motherfuckers that we look up to. And I feel like we pretty decent niggas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? To get you on here, bro, and for you to keep your word, bro, is everything for
us, bro.
Come on,
man. That's all I got, bro.
But the podcast is big and lazy, so you got to give us something good to eat and something good to watch before we get out of here.
Yep.
It could be local or whatever.
I ain't going to lie. Listen, bro. Black Tiff, it's a girl, Black Tiff. She sell plates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some of the best food I done tasted in some years. Her mama. Mm.
Black Tiff?
I don't even got an Instagram to look up. I can give y'all her name, her number. Nigga, she got some of the best food. I just hit her this morning, and she said she's cooking Wednesday.
Okay.
But I swear to you, her place is $18, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I swear to you, nigga, her food is so good, nigga.
Oh, man, it's worth it.
Hey, you going to spend $12 at McDonald's. I can get $18 for somebody's granny. But you know what I mean?
Ford is asking for cost of living.
I eat everybody. I eat everywhere, bro. Uh-huh. Black Tiff got some of the best food I done had, man. Shout out to Black Tiff, man.
Shout out Black Tiff, man. We're going to be looking you up.
Black Tiff got some of the best food I done had in a long time, man. I done been all over the world eating everybody's food.
And give us something good to watch.
Yeah. Something good to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Something good to watch. I like different shit, but let me think of a good movie. Y'all seen Time Trap?
I don't think I have.
Time Trap. I like weird shit. You know what I'm saying? I like different shit. I don't know. It might be on Netflix.
Okay.
I like different shit, man. I done watched everything, bro. Okay. I can't even think of nothing right off the top of the head, but what else I like, man? Damn, I just watched some good movies, man. I can't even think, man. I like Time Trap, though. I like them type of movies, bro.
Yeah.
Different, you know.
Sci-fi.
Yeah, sci-fi. I'm make a sci-fi type of nigga, yeah.
I'm gonna give you something good to watch, y'all. You like the Twilight Zone? So Twilight Zone was on Amazon Prime. It was an old Hitchcock. But Jordan Peele just redid it.
They redid it.
So he did. He got about two or three seasons. He started like 2019 on Amazon Prime. So if you like that stuff, like different sci-fi shit, I love that. Twilight Zone.
The twist in the end. Throw you off.
Yeah.
I'm with that. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
That's what's up, man.
You want to shout your Instagram out? Yeah. Where can they find you?
They find me on Instagram, Chin1 Music, man, on Instagram, man. You know what I'm saying? Kenny Cocaine on Snapchat and shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, man. Follow me, man.
Go ahead and follow me at Greedy and Lazy, _USA on Instagram.
Big and Lazy Pod. You can
follow the Big and Lazy Pod.
Man,
we out of here, man.
Appreciate this good drink y'all had.
Oh, go ahead.
Shout out to the Confirm Network, man. Shout out to my nigga Big, man. We did it.
Yeah, we did it.
Chopper nigga, oh no,
oh no.
And that bitch sing like the opera nigga, oh no,
oh no,
oh no, oh no. You gotta pray for these bitches.
Big
like,
and lazy.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls Podcast, as well as Big and Lazy Podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support. And keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.